The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Nedarim, Daf Lamed Zayin. Today's Daf is being studied. The Ilun Nishmat Mordechai ben Norma, the Ilun Nishmat Avraham ben Esther, Ruach Hashem Tanihem began Eden, Amen. Today's Daf is being studied for us, Shedemash Shalomot ben Miriam, Shaul Hai, Gavriel, בן שרה, שרה בת רחל, רחל בת שרה ותינוק בן דינה שיהיה נימול בעזרת השם שעה טובה ומוצלחת אין לרפן להם בתוך שאר חולי עמו ישראל, אמן We begin today's daf on Lamed Vav Amud Bet and we are four lines from the bottom We are studying a case in our Gemara It's actually coming from the Mishnah Well, let's say Reuven was osir himself that he cannot have hana'ah from Shimon So the Mishnah said, and I start reading the Gemara now, Melamedo Midrash Halachot Ve'agadot, that even though Reuven made a neder not to have Hana'ah, he is permissible to learn from Shimon Midrash Halacha and Agada. However, the Gemara says, But Shimon cannot teach Mikra, which is Chumash. Let's say Chumash is Mikra to Reuven. So we have to understand the difference. Bottom line, either way, he's giving him Hana'ah. He's teaching him. So why you tell me Midrash and Agadah he could teach him and Mikra he cannot? So Gemara says, My Tama lo yilamedenu mishum dekehamahanele. The reason why he can't teach him is because he's giving him Hana'ah. Now what's the Hana'ah? The Hana'ah over here is referring to that in the olden days there were places that used to charge to teach Mikra. You know, you wanted to get a rabbi to come teach you Mikra, there's a fee. So therefore, Shimon is going to teach Reuven Mikra for nothing, so that's already he's giving him a Hana'ah, because he's not charging him. So therefore he's saving that money. So the Gemara says, the reason why you're telling me So for that matter, he's giving him the same hana'ah when he's teaching him midrash, which is if they normally charge to teach midrash, now he's teaching it to him for free, so he's saving that money. So the Gemara says, Amar Shemuel, Bimkom shenotlim sachar ala mikra, ve'en notlim sachar ala midrash. So the Shemuel makes an ukimta. He establishes our Mishnah in a certain situation. It's talking about a place where the custom is to take money from Mikra, and Shimon is not taking that money, therefore he's giving him Hana'ah, he's saving him that money. But it's a place as well that doesn't take money for Midrash. So they teach Midrash for free. So therefore he's not being Mahanim when he teaches them for free, because anyway, he could have learned it for free anyway, because it's not... They don't charge money for Midrash. That's the way Shemuel makes an Ukimta on our Mishnah. So comes Gemara and says, My Paska, which means, who told the Mishnah or Shemuel to make such a Hiluk, a difference that you're talking about a place where Mikra they charge and Midrash they don't? Which means, where did you get this Hiluk over here? Which means you should have just said in the Mishnah, listen, it depends if they charge money or not. If it's the place of Minhag where they charge money, so therefore you can't teach it. If they don't charge money, then you can. What did the Mishnah be so specific? That Mikra Asur and Midrash Mutar, as if it's assuming that for Mikra they charge money, therefore it's Asur to be in him for free, and the Midrash no. So the Gemara says, the reason why Mishnah is saying that is to teach us a Chidush, HaKamash Ma'alan. That even in a place where, let's say, the custom is to take money for teaching, from Mikra you're allowed to take money to teach. That's the point. You're not allowed to take from Midrash. So the Gemara says, what's the difference? What's the reason why when it comes to Midrash you can't take money? Because we have a pasuk that's written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people, Right? Borei Olam commanded me at that time to teach you. Uchtiv, and also Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, Re'el limadti etchem chukim u'mishpatim ka'asher sivani Hashem. Behold, look, I taught you laws and statutes like God commanded me. Now, what does it mean, like God commanded me? Ka'asher sivani. Ma ani bechinam, just like God taught me for free. He didn't charge me. Af atem name bechinam. So too, when you teach the Torah, also you have to teach it bechinam. Now, Mikra name bechinam. And therefore we see Mikra, which was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, also must be taught bechinam. So now, again, the Gemara is saying that behold, I taught you Hukim, I taught you things like God commanded me. What do you mean like God commanded me? I'm repeating. Ma ani bechinam. Just like God says, I taught you Moshe for free, afatem nameh. So too, when you teach, you have to teach bechinam. So the Gemara says, Mikra name bechinam. So therefore, Mikra also should be bechinam. So therefore, how could you tell me that I can't charge for midrash only? I understand I can't charge for midrash when you're teaching midrashim and things like this. No problem. But the Chaurah, based on this last pasuk, even Mikra you should not be allowed to charge. How could the Gemara say that? For if you want to charge money, you could charge for Mikra. So the Gemara says, two answers. Rav Amar, Schar Shimur. That what we said, that if you're allowed to charge money to teach Mikra, it's not for the teaching of the Mikra. You can't charge for the teaching. You could charge for the babysitting. Schar Shimur. Because who usually learns Mikra? Who usually learns Chumash? Kids. And therefore you're allowed to pay the teacher, not because he's teaching Mikra. You can't charge for that. It's got to be Bechinam, like God taught Bechinam. But you're allowed to charge him for the babysitting service. For the fact that he's taking care of the kids, that's already he's able to charge. The Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, that's a different answer. That what they taught, that they're able to charge for Mikra, Schar Pisuk Ta'amim. That's for the teaching of the Ta'amim. Which means the Ta'amim themselves, according to Rabbi Yochanan, are not from the Torah. That's not included in the Pasuk Chokim u'Mishpatim. Therefore, the Ta'amim themselves, the tunes, they don't have to be taught for free. And therefore, you're allowed to charge, and when you're teaching Mikra, not for the Limud itself, but for the teaching of the Ta'amim. Now, let's understand clearly. So according to Rav, who learns Mikra? Usually the kids learn Mikra. When it comes to midrash, usually adults learn midrash. So there's no babysitting charge. You can't charge not for the limud, and it's not going to be a babysitting fee, because it's adults. When it comes to mikra, that usually children learn. So therefore, you have to say that the hadush of the Mishnah is that what it says you cannot teach mikra means, if let's say Reuven made a neder, right? That he cannot have an afim Shimon, and you have to say Reuven is a katan. He's a minor. Shimon will not be allowed to teach him Mikra for free. Because bottom line, he's being mehanein, that he's not charging the babysitting charge. Or according to Rabbi Yochanan, he cannot teach him because he's teaching him for free, he's not charging for the ta'amim. Mashenken, when it comes to Midrash, you're not allowed to charge anything at all. So that's the way we learned the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about Dafka Mikra. It's Mikra, you're allowed to charge. The question is not for the Limud, either for the Schar Shimur, we call that, or we're teaching it for the paying for the Tamim. That's the way we're learning the Mishnah. So comes the Gemara and has a question. Tenan, we learned in our Mishnah, Lo yilamedenu Mikra. Right? We said in the Mishnah that Reuven, Shimon cannot teach Reuven Mikra. Bishlama leman de amar Schar Pisuk Tamim. According to the opinion that says that the Hana'a is that you're not charging him for the Schar Pisuk Ta'amim, for the Ta'amim that you're teaching him, Hainu de lo yelamedenu. Now we understand what he shouldn't teach him. El aleman de amar Schar Shimur. But according to the opinion that says it's Schar Shimur, that the Hana'a over here is that the Uven is getting, is he's getting free babysitting service. Gadol bar Shimuru. What are you talking? Our Mishnah is talking about a gadol. The Uven's a gadol. Does a gadol need to be babysat? Does it need to be watched? Which means, of course not. And therefore, in that case as well, he should be permissible to teach a mikra. Because again, if you're not allowed to charge for mikra per se, and there's no babysitting fee for a gadol, why should it be asur? Which means, b'ishlama, if you want to tell me the inyan of that, is the sfer schar pisuk ta'amim, so you're teaching a gadol, ta'amim, and normally they charge for ta'amim, according to Rabbi Yohanan, because it's not included in the sakasir min ha-Torah, the ta'amim, therefore you don't have to teach it b'chinam, and therefore he was teaching him ta'amim, and therefore the inyan is that he could teach it to him, because... that's why he cannot teach them, because he's giving hana'ah, that he's getting him a free class in ta'amim without charging him. That's why it's asur. But according to the Rav, that learns the inyan is the schar shimur, gadol, there's no way you have to babysit him, so he wasn't going to get paid anyway. So you're not paying for the schar shimur, you wouldn't have paid him for the teaching anyway, because you can't teach for mikra, you can't charge for mikra. So therefore, why should it be asur in the Mishnah for him to teach him a mikra, according to Rav? So Gemara says, bekatan ketani. So no, the Mishnah is talking about where katan, the uven's a katan. So Gemara says, "I be katan." If you tell me it's talking about a katan, ema sefa aval milamid banav mikra katan bar banimu. Which means, if you tell me that the uven's a katan, the end of the Mishnah doesn't make sense. Because what did it say at the end of the Mishnah? That Shimon could teach the uven's children. He can't teach the uven, but he can teach his children. If the uven's a katan, does the katan have children? So the Gemara says, "Hasore mechsera v'achi ketani lo yilamedenu mikra bekatan," which means Rav will learn the Mishnah with hasore mechsera. Do not teach Shimon. Should not teach the Uven if the Uven's a katan. Why? Because Parman is giving him the hana'ah of free schar shimur. He may a gadol, but if he was a gadol, that there's no inyan of schar shemira. Melamedo lo. Not only can the Uven teach Shimon, ulbanav, he can even teach Shimon's, Reuven's children that are ketanim, mikra. So that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Which means it'll be permissible for Shimon to not only teach Reuven, if Reuven is a gadol, but Reuven's children, if they are ketanim, Shimon is allowed to teach them as well, and that's not considered me'anehu. That's not considered him giving Reuven a hana'ah. The Ran explains over here, it's like that's inyan, it's like he's being mefanes his children, and therefore it's not considered receiving necessarily a hana'ah when a person is mefanes his children. In any event, let's review now how the Mishnah is working out according to both opinions. We have a Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a case where Reuven said he's not going to have hana'ah from Shimon. So the Mishnah said Shimon cannot teach him mikra. Now we want to know why. So now we have two understandings. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the reason why he can't teach him mikra is because he's giving him a hana'ah to Reuven, that he's teaching him ta'amim for free. And it's a place where they charge for ta'amim, because you're allowed to charge for the ta'amim according to Rabbi Yochanan. That's not in the inyan of the Torah that's asur to charge for, because he doesn't hold ta'amim from the Torah. So therefore it's permissible. So that's why the Uven cannot teach Shimon, because Shimon cannot teach the Uven, because he's giving him a freebie, teaching him for free. According to Rav, no, we're talking about Uven teaching a minor. Shimon is teaching the Uven, Uven is a minor. And therefore, he's babysitting him as well when he's teaching him. And therefore, by not charging, he's giving the Uven a hana. But in Echaname, according to Rav, he would be allowed to teach an adult. Number one, because you can't teach for mikra. According to Rav, you are not allowed to charge for ta'amim either, because Rav holds ta'amim is midoraita, and therefore, just like you can't charge for mikra, you cannot charge for ta'amim, and therefore, the only thing you have left is the inyan of the schar shimur. There's no schar shimur by a gadol, therefore, you're allowed to teach a gadol mikra. However, if it was a katan, it would be asur, and the hadush is that even if it was a gadol, you're not only allowed to teach him, but even his children, you would be allowed to teach. That's the way we're learning the Mishnah according to Rav and Rav Yochanan. Comes the Gemara and continues. Metive, we learned in a braita, tinokot lo korin betechila b'shabbat ela shonin berishon. The braita says like this: when it comes to children, you shouldn't teach them new things that they never learned on Shabbat for the first time. לא קוראים בתחילה בשבת. Don't teach them new stuff that they never studied before. אלא שונים בראשון. But you're allowed to review, even for the first time, something that they learned already. That's the law. Can't teach a child new things on Shabbat. For example, it's a new piece of Gemara. Don't study with him that. But he can review. You're allowed to sit down and review with him the old stuff. So Gemara says, Bishlama leman de'amar schar pisuk ta'amim. If you want to tell me, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that you want to tell me that when it says you're allowed to charge for Mikra, that means you're only charging, meaning for schar pisuk ta'amim, you're allowed to charge for the ta'amim. I knew the end, korin b'techila b'shabbat. Now I understand what it means that you cannot teach somebody a new thing on Shabbat. Because it's talking about where, let's say, the teacher wants to teach him, the child, mikra. And it's talking about where they take payment, let's say. And he's teaching him, let's say, the ta'amim. And therefore, the reason why it's saying you can't teach him new things on Shabbat, it's because the teacher is getting paid for work that he's doing on Shabbat. So that's asur, because you're getting paid for teaching him ta'amim. Therefore, you're not allowed to teach him ta'amim on Shabbat. That's what it's saying, because otherwise you're a worker on Shabbat. However, it would be permissible, let's say, to review with the student the ta'amim, because you're not paying him for that. The ikar payment you're paying him is for the actual limud. But for the review, that's not considered you pay, because he knows it already. Oh, el aleman damar, but according to Rav, that says that which we say you're allowed to teach mikra, and what's the payment? Schar shimur, right? The whole payment when it comes to mikra is what? The babysitting factor. Amai en korin b'techila b'shabbat v'amai shonin b'rishon. What's the difference between learning for the first time or reviewing with the child? Either way, the teacher's babysitting the kid, either way. And therefore, he's getting paid for work that he's doing on Shabbat, whether it's the first time he's teaching or the second time he's teaching. I repeat the question. According to Rabbi Yochanan, I understand the chiluk between teaching the first time, which is asur on Shabbat, or sitting with the child and reviewing. Why? You can't sit with the child the first time on Shabbat because they're paying the teacher to teach the kid ta'amim. You can't pay a teacher on Shabbat to teach him a subject, and you're paying him for work that he's doing on Shabbat. Masha'en can, the review, yeah, the review, that's not considered to teaching him. He knows it already. So therefore, you're really paying him for the initial lesson, and for the teacher to sit down and review, that's okay because the kid knows it already. I have no problem. But according to Rav, that the ikar payment is given to the teacher because he's babysitting. That's what you're paying him for the babysitting. So, meman afshach, either way, whether it's the first time you're sitting down with him or whether it's the second time you're sitting down with him, it shouldn't make a difference. Bottom line, each time, whether you're reviewing with him or learning it the first time, doesn't matter. Either way, the child is being babysat by the teacher. He's getting paid for work that's done on Shabbat. So, according to Rav, what's the chiluk between the first time and the review? So comes the Gemara and says, v'le'ta'amech. Gemara says, what do you think? According to Rabbi Yochanan, does this make sense? Schar pisuk b'shabbat mi asur havla'ahi v'havla'a mishra shareh l'tanya ha'socher et ha'po'el l'shmor et ha'tinok l'shmor et ha'para l'shmor et ha'zera'im en notin lo schar shabbat. Which means, Gemara says, what are you talking about? There's no isur over here of taking money on Shabbat. Because we're talking about over here where the teacher is hired for, let's say, a week's time. So he's getting paid for 7 days. In that case, over there, you're allowed to pay the teacher for Shabbat because that's considered habla'ah. It's swallowed, it's absorbed into the other days. You can't hire a teacher davka to teach on Shabbat. That's already paying a guy to work for you on Shabbat. But if he's working every day anyway, so the one day of Shabbat is absorbed in the other 6 days. That's permissible. So the Rav says, what are you talking about? The issue in this braita over here that you're quoting, teaching kids on Shabbat, it's got nothing to do with because of the issue of paying on Shabbat. You're not paying per se for Shabbat at all. You should be, if you're looking from the payment standpoint, even the first time should be permissible because it's been done, behavla'a. It's done in absorbing the whole week salary together. So you're not paying him specifically per se for Shabbat. So it's permissible. And how do we know this? Because the law says like this, hasochir et ha'po'el. Let's say a guy hires a worker. Right, let's say he's high, paying him by the day. Every single day he's paying him. Lishmor et ha'tinok, right? And he's hiring a person to watch the tinok. What do you mean watch the tinok? Not the babysit. This is a specific case that we're talking about over here. We learned in Masechet Parah that in the olden days when they used to make the Parah Adumah, they used to raise a child in a certain city that was free from all sorts of Tum'ah. They wanted him to be raised in a pure 100% Tahor environment. Why? So when he gets older, he'll be able to draw the waters for the Parah Adumah B'Kdusha U'Tahara. So they needed somebody to watch this kid in that city that he was raised in, that was built in a certain way where no Tum'ah would be able to penetrate. So it says if a person hires somebody by the day to watch the child in order to preserve him for Tahara, for the Parah Adumah, or Lishmor at the Parah, or you're hiring somebody to watch the Parah Adumah to make sure nobody puts a load on it. Because one of the Isurim on the Parah Adumah is, it says, Asher lo ala aleha ol, that you're not allowed to put a load on the Parah Adumah. So you're paying somebody to watch the Parah by the day in order that, you know, the Parah doesn't become used. V'chen lishmor et zera'im, or let's say they planted certain seeds in order to use eventually for the Omer. On the second day of Pesach, they used to cut the first grown wheat, and that was called Korban HaOmer. So they used to hire somebody to watch the fields so nobody vandalizes the first cuttings that they're going to need for the Korban HaOmer. En notim lo schar Shabbat. Well, you can't pay him if you're paying him by the day, so you cannot pay him for what he does on Shabbat, because you're paying a worker to do work for you on Shabbat. Lefichach. Oh, so what do you do in such a, therefore, I correct, therefore, im avdu, therefore, let's say it got lost on Shabbat, which means they lost the parah, or they lost the merchandise, or something got lost on Shabbat, eno chayav b'chariyutan, which means he's going to be, the worker is going to be patur. Because since you're not allowed to pay him for Shabbat, comes out he's watching something for free. And when you watch something for free, you're considered a shomer chinam, and shomer chinam has limited liabilities. So again, im avdu, if it got lost, the worker is not hayav. V'imayas chir Shabbat, but if you hired him not by the day, to be a day worker, you hired him, chir Shabbat means by the week, Schir Chodesh, or you hired him for the month, Schir Shana, or you hired him for the year, Schir Shavua, or you hired him for 7 years. Shavua over here means a period of like a Shemitah. Shavua means for 7 years, that's the contract. Noten lo Schar Shabbat. You're allowed to pay him for the Shabbat. Why? You don't have to deduct from the Shabbatot, because you're not giving him specifically for the Shabbat itself, you're giving him for the year. In the year you have Shabbatot, so you're paying him a price for the year. So that's called Habla'as. So you see, Habla'as Mutar. Nefichach, therefore, since you could pay him for the Shabbatot when you hire him for the year, for example, Im Avdu, if let's say something happened on Shabbat, Tari Parah Adumah, something like that, Hayav B'achari Yutan. So the worker is going to be Hayav, because now he's considered a Shomer Sakar, because he is getting paid. But the point is, what are you learning from this Braita? That's the point. You're learning that Havla'ah is Mutar. And therefore, there's no question on Rav. Which means the question is Ben on Rav, Ben on Rabbi Yohanan. Why on Shabbat can't you teach the child new stuff, but you could review with him? And don't tell me the Inyan is because over here, it's Inyan of, because you're hiring a guy on Shabbat. You're hiring him for the week to teach him this. And therefore, Havla'az Mutar. So therefore, there's no question, there's no issue over here of Havla'ah, there's no issue over here of charging, taking payment on Shabbat. That's not the hiluk between the first time and the second time. That it's a inyan of taking money and the review is not considered to teaching him anything because he knows it already. Not, you're allowed to teach from that standpoint on Shabbat because it's Havla'a. So the question is, so why did the rabbis make a gezerah that new stuff you can't teach the child and old stuff here? So the Gemara says, Ela gabe Shabbat haynu ta'ama de'en kur'in b'techila mishum di'yifnu abahaton di'yinuke le'mitzvata de'shabbeta. Because we want the fathers of the children to be free in order to enjoy the Shabbat, to make oneg Shabbat. Which means we're concerned. We want the father also to learn on Shabbat. When it's the oneg Shabbat, the father should also sit down and learn things. But if the father's not going to have to teach the kid new stuff, so now he's not going to be able to sit down and learn his own things. And then we're worried about his bitul. And then we're concerned that they're not going to have a chance to study. I'm reading the Mefaresh. The Mefaresh explains this gezerah. Shimayu asukin lakrotan betechila betvar hadash hayu tirudim bahem. They're going to be busy with the kids teaching them new material. V'lo hayu pinuim levedvat Shabbat letanegbo. אבל שונין הואיל וכבר למדו לא מטרידו בהו, right? Which means already it's old stuff to review, it's easy. But we're concerned that if the father's going to have to teach the kid new stuff, so it's going to take away from the father's oneg Shabbat. Right? He says over here, כדי שיפנו אבות הילדים אליהם וישתעשו מהם כמצוות השבת. ואם ילמדו עם הילדים דבר חדש, now if the father's going to have to teach the kid new stuff, לא ירצו אבות לבטלם מלימודם, ולא יוכלו להשתעשע עמהם. אבל אם רק חוזרים על לימודם שכבר למדו, אין האבות חושבים כל כך לבטלם מלימודם, ולכן מי שרוצה ישתעשו עם בנו, ולא יהיה מודאג ממה שאין הבן נמצא אצל המלמד. Which means, the way they're saying over here, at least in one interpretation, this is a more simple interpretation. I'll say it like this. He says over here from the Tosafot, if the child is going to learn new things on Shabbat, so the teacher is going to take a long time for the teacher to teach him these things on Shabbat, and the father is going to have to wait for the kid to come home from the limud, and it's going to take away from the onik Shabbat of the family. And the kid's learning new inyanim. The kid, that is the first time he's learning it, it's going to take much longer. So therefore, the Gemara is saying that that's why they don't want you to teach new stuff on Shabbat. It's going to take away from the onik Shabbat of the family. That's one interpretation. The Gemara gives another answer. That what's the reason? Mishum de b'shabeta achlin v'shatin. Because the children on Shabbat, they eat more than regular, right? They eat and drink on Shabbat. V'yakir alehon alma. And now their bones become heavy on Shabbat because all the extra food that they're eating. And therefore they're not able to learn new stuff because the extra food that they're eating causes them to lose their concentration. Kedamar Shemuel shinui veset techilat choli me'ayim. Like Shemuel said, that when a person changes his normal way, his normal routine, that's the beginning of intestinal problems. And since the kid is not used to eating like he eats all week long, on Shabbat he eats different stuff, so we don't want the kid to learn new things on Shabbat because he's not going to be able to concentrate because already his stomach is hurting him from all the different foods that he's eating, and he's eating out of not the normal diet. So therefore, in that case over there, they don't want to teach him new things. Okay, so that's the two reasons why they made this Gezerah. So comes the Gemara and continues, Ulman de Amar, according to the opinion that says, Schar Pisuk Ta'amim, right, according to the opinion that says, which is Rabbi Hanan, that you're allowed to charge money for the Ta'amim, my Ta'amah lo Amar Schar Shimur, why didn't he say that you're allowed to take money for the Schar Shimur, for the babysitting? It says, Kasabar Banot Mi Kaba'yan Shimur, which means, because he comes along and says that when our Mishnah said that he cannot teach Mikra, which means Shimon cannot teach the Uven Mikra, it's mashma that it wasn't only talking about men. It means, let's say, let's say it's Sarah. Shimon can't teach Sarah either. And if that's what it's talking about, where even, let's say, the one that made the neder is a girl, is a lady, Banot mi kabayan shimur, which means girls, even when they're small, they don't need the shimur, because they don't usually run around. And therefore, when you're teaching a girl, there would not be a problem of schar shimur, because you don't have to babysit the girl. The girls are usually behavior. They don't run around. They sit quietly. So therefore, if you're learning the Mishnah, even talking about a girl, you have to say the inyan is the ta'amim. Because otherwise, it'd be permissible. From the schar shimur aspect, it's not including girls, because girls don't need to, you don't charge them for the babysitting effect, because they don't go run around. Ulman de'amar ta'ama. According to Rav, that he said the reason that you're charging is for the Sakhar Shimur. How come he didn't say Pisuk Ta'amim? How come he didn't say you could charge for the Ta'amim? Kasabar, because Rav holds Pisuk Ta'amim Deoraitahu. He says that no, the inyan of the Ta'amim, that's like Torah. That's been a Torah. And therefore, just like Torah, you cannot charge money for. Ta'amim is an inyan from the Torah. The Amar Rav Ika Baravin Amar Rav Hanan El Amar Rav. My dichtiv, what does it mean when it says in the Pasuk in Ezra, Vayikre'u Basefer Torah Ta'elohim Meforash Vesom Sechel Vayavinu Bamikra?
So the Gemara explains what this pasuk is referring to. Vayikru b'sefer Torah Tehillim. They read in the sefer of the Torah v'Hashem. Ze mikrat. That means they read Torah shebichtav. Meforash. Explicit. Ze targum. That's referring to the targum, the Aramaic interpretation. V'som sechel elu ha'pesukim. Because the pesukim give interpretation. The way the pesukim are broken up, that gives interpretation or intelligence to the pesukim. Vayavinu b'mikra. They understood the mikra. Ze pisuk ta'amim. That's referring to the tunes. And therefore, you see what? That really the tunes, the tamim themselves, are min haTorah. The Amrila, and some say, Elu ha-misorot. And some say this is referring to the misorah, which misorah means which words in the Torah are written maleh and which words are written hasir. Which means sometimes you have an extra vav, that's maleh, sometimes it's written without a vav, that's considered hasir. So therefore, the masorot also is an inyan of halakha l'moshe m'sinai. And therefore, you see what? You see that when it comes to ta'amim, the ta'amim themselves are in the Torah. So therefore, just like Torah, you cannot teach ba'al peh, for free. Sorry, just like Torah, you cannot charge. So to ta'amim, you can also not charge. That's according to Rav. But Rabbi Yochanan says, no, ta'amim are midrabanan. Ta'amim is not in the Torah. And therefore, the inyan of the charging for the mikra is only the inyan of shimur. And therefore, in our Mishnah, he understood that so many even girls are in this Mishnah. And if it was just for Schar Shimur, it would be permissible to teach the girls Mikra, because they don't need Schar Shimur. Masha'enken, if it's talking about Ta'amim, so you can't teach the girls Ta'amim either, because bottom line, they're getting Hana'ab for the fact that he didn't charge him. Amar Bitzhak Mikra Sofrim. The proper reading of the Torah, the Itur Sofrim, and certain extra words that the Torah writes in order to make the Pasuk flow better, like a crowning of the Torah, which is a certain Pasukim, they could have written them with less words, but the Torah is Me'atir, it adorns the Pasuk by writing a couple of extra words once in a while in order to make the Pasuk flow better. V'karyan ve'lo ketivan. Karyan ve'lo ketivan is certain words that even though they're not written in the Pasuk, we read them anyway. That's karyan. They're read velo katvan, even though they're not written. Uchtivan velo karyan. And then you have other pisukim that we read the word. I'm sorry, it's written, but we don't read what's written. So I have both the inyanim. So let's review these things. You have number one, mikra sofrim. I mean the right way to read certain words. That's like a masoret. And iture sofrim, those are certain extra words that are written in pisukim in order to make the pasuk flow better and have, you know, adornment, even though you didn't need those words themselves. V'karyan velo ketivan, certain words that you read even though they're not written. Uchtivan velo karyan, or certain words that are written but you don't read them. All these things are halakha l'moshe m'sinai. These are all halakha Moshe m'sinai items. So the Gemara now gives examples of these things. Mikra sofrim, meaning the way to read certain pisukim. For example, eris. Sometimes eris, you read aris. Who's giving us these rules over here? Sometimes we read Eres, sometimes we read Ares. Shamayim u'misrayim. Which means there's no nikudot in the Torah, but the tradition, the way you read the word Shin Mem Yud Mem in the Torah is Shamayim. Who says? Maybe you could have read it Shamim. Or Misraim could be read like Misrim, but a Hirik under the Resh. So therefore, the tradition is halakha Moshe Mishnah that you read those words Shamayim and Misraim as if it's written with a Aleph after the Mem. Itture sofrim. What are these halakha Moshe Mishnah? These adornment where you have some pesukim that an extra word is written in order to make it more clear. So we have one pesuk. It says Ahar Ta'avoru. The pasuk over there is by Avraham Avinu. It says Vesa'adu lebechem, tells the angels eat, satiate yourselves. Ahar ta'avoru. The pasuk just could have said Sa'adu lebechem ve'ta'avoru. The extra word ahar is like an itur, just to make the pasuk a little more clear, just to make it more understandable. So that word ahar is like an extra word that's called itur. Or it says ahar telech. That's talking about when Eliezer tells that's when Lavan tells Eliezer, "Teshev na'ara itan, let Nifka sit with us yamim or asor, a day or 10 days. Ahar telech." The pasuk just could have said "vetelech," and then she should go. So the word "ahar" is an extra word. Or it says in the pasuk, "Nekom nikmat bnei Yisrael met the midyanim." God tells Moshe, "Take revenge against the midyanim. Ahar te'asif, then you will pass away." The pasuk just could have said "veteasif," or you have a pasuk. Pasuk is in Tehillim, where this pasuk over here is talking about the army of Sanhedrin that came to Yerushalayim in the times of Hezekiah, And it says that after we won the war, miraculously, so these singers came in order to sing with the people that had their musical instruments. So it says, "Kedemu sarim ahar nogenim." It says the sarim, the ones that was actually referring to the mishoririm, they came and they sang verbally, and then after them came the ones that had their musical instruments. So the pasuk says it just could have said kedemu sarim ve nogenim. Ahar Nogenim is after then the Nogenim came. So the word Ahar is really extra. But the Torah is writing it for Itur. Sedkatecha keharere el. Now what is this referring to? The angels are referred to Harere el, the mountains of God. And the Pasuk is telling us of it, Sidkatecha, that God's Hesed, God's Siddiq, the angels need God's mercy as well. They also need the Siddiqah of God. Sidkatecha, it's like Sidkatecha, God, your kindness, Harere'el. Even the mountains of God, the angels, need them. Now the Pasuk just could have said, Sidkatecha Harere'el, but it says Sidkatecha Ke Harere'el. So the Ke Harere'el is like an itur, the extra chaf, just to make it more nice, the Pasuk. Because it says at the end of the Pasuk, Mishpatecha Tehom Rabbah. It doesn't say Ke Tehom Rabbah. And therefore the Pasuk said, Sidkatecha Re'el, which means your tzedakah is needed by the Harere'el, the angels. So it says, since it says Mishpatecha Tehom Rabbah, also there's no chaf. And the Sidkatecha Ke Harere'el, the chaf makes the Pasuk a little more flowery. That's called Eturim. Now, Karyan Velo Ketiban. Let's go through these Pasukim quickly. There's certain Pasukim that we read extra words in the Pasuk even though they're not written. I mean, if you look in the Pasuk, these words do not appear, but we throw them in. That's Halakha Moshim Sinai. And we start. For example, we have a Pasuk, Perat. It says in the Pasuk, the Belechto, which means it's written by David. Vayach David et Hadad Ezer ben Rahab Melech Soba, Belechto Lehashiv Yado ban Nahar. It just says the word Nahar. And we come along and say, Lehashiv Yado ban Nahar Perat. We add the word Perat. That's, it's Kari Velo Ketiv. We read it, but it's not written. The word Perat, Euphrates River, is not written in the Pasuk, but we read it. Furthermore, Ish. What's that Pasuk referring to? It says, the Ka'ashir Yishal Ish Bidvara Elohim. That's referring to over there by Ahitophel. The full Pasuk says, Vahasat Ahitophel, Ashir Yatz Beimimim. It's referring to Ahitophel, the advisor. It's Ka'ashir Yishal Bidvara Elohim. And it says, instead of saying Ka'ashir Yishal, it says Ka'ashir Yishal Ish. We add the word Ish. Next one, Ba'im. In the Pasuk of Nivneta, what does it say in the Pasuk? Hine yamim ni'um Hashem, v'nivneta ir la'Hashem, mimigdal Hananel, sha'ar ha'pina. And we add the words, hine yamim ba'im. The Pasuk just says, hine yamim. But it's the words, hine yamim ba'im. So let's say, kareh velo ketiv. Or la, the word la is added in the Pasuk of Peleta. What does the Pasuk say? Hashmiu el Babel Rabbim Kodar Kekeshet Hanu Alea Saviv Al Yehi Peleta. So we take the word of Al Yehi and we add the word La. Al Yehi La Peleta. So we're adding the word La in that Pasuk. Now we discuss some Pasukim in Pesukim in Megillat Rut, where we add words that are not written. Et in Huged Hugad. The Pasuk of Huged Hugad. What does it say in that Pasuk? Vayachan Boaz Vayomer La Huged Hugad Li Kol Asher Asit Et Hamotech Achare Mot Ishech. So instead of saying Kol Asher Asit Hamotech, we add Kol Asher Asit Et Hamotech. I know all the favors you did for your mother-in-law. We add the word Et in that Pasuk. Eli, the word Eli is added in the Pasuk of the Hagorin. The Pasuk says, Vatomer Eliah, Kol Asher Tomeri E'eseh. And we add the word, Kol Asher Tomeri Eli E'eseh. Furthermore, Eli, the word Eli is added as well in the Pasuk of Se'orim. The Pasuk says, Vatomer Shesh Se'orim Ha'ele Natan Li Ki Amar. And the Pasuk says El, but we read it Eli. Tavore Kamel Hamotech. So again, we're adding the word Eli. Halen. All these examples we said, Karyan Velo Ketiban. These are cases where we read a word that is not written in the Pasuk. But basically, that's all you have to know in this Gemara. It's not important that you know every single context of every Pasuk. We're giving examples that it's possible you have a Pasuk in the Torah where the word does not show up, but we have Alecha Moshe that says you got to read the word. The Gemara gave us examples. The last point, Uchtivan velo karyan. Now there's certain words that are written, but you don't read them. That's the opposite. Na, for example, the word na in the pasuk of the Yislah. It says in the pasuk, Beishtahavita bet limon, Yislah na Hashem na abdecha b'demar hazeh. We take out the word na, and it just says, Yislah Hashem na abdecha. So therefore, you're taking out the word na. Furthermore, we have a pasuk, Zot, the word Zot in the pasuk of the Hamitzvah, or the word Yidroch in the pasuk of Hadorech. It says in the pasuk, Al Yidroch, Yidroch Hadorech Kashto, or Hadorech, Al Yidroch, Yidroch Hadorech Kashto. So we take out the second Yidroch from that pasuk, and we read it Yidroch, only the first Yidroch in the pasuk. Hamesh, the second word Hamesh in the pasuk, the Fat Negev. It says in the pasuk, Fat Negev Hamesh, Hamesh Meot Varbaim Alafim. We take out the second word Hamesh. And lastly, Im, the word Im in the pasuk, the Ki Goel. The pasuk says, Ve'ata Ki Omnam, Ki Im Goel Anochi. We take out the second Im. So you're just reading, Ve'ata Ki Omnam, Ki Goel Anochi. Halen, Ketiba velo karyan. These pesukim over here, they're ketivan. The words are written, but we do not read them. Gemara concludes, Amar Rav Chabar Adav, Ve'maravan Eretz Yisrael, Paskin lehaden pesuka letlata pesukim. In Eretz Yisrael, the custom was to divide the following pasuk into three pesukim. ויאמר השם אל משה הנה אנוכי בא אליך בעב וענן בעבור ישמע העם בדברי עמך וגם בך ימינו לעולם ויגד משה דברי העם אל השם. So they would divide this pasuk actually into three different sections. So you see that even in the pesuk of the pesukim, you have different minhagim. So they would break that up into three. We have that really as one long pasuk, but they say they would break it down as three. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen.